Let me start tonight's message with a summary of a prophetic word that was released this morning by Chuck Pierce. Jeff, you need to stay here for a minute. It was a very serious word that he said, I will skip all the religiosity and I am just going to talk to you. Just like I did to the King of Zing, he just talked. He said that the Lord showed him this morning that the next, from beginning Monday to October 23rd, so that's after the fall feasts. So all of the feasts, the cycle of feasts started last night to the end of October. These next 6 months are going to be the most tumultuous times in the last 160 to 170 years. That's before the Civil War. That's almost at the 1830s when Finney came to Rochester for the first revival. So we're talking about things are going to change all around the earth. He included all the nations, but he was specifically talking about this nation. And he said it's very important that you know how you are aligned and how you are connected. Have you heard that before? It's very important that you know where you are in the body of Christ, because there is going to be many people that fall away because they're not connected. So when I get the summary of his word, I will send it to Lynn to send out to all our everyone distribution list. Jeremy, you're on that list, aren't you? So we'll get that in the next day or so and send it out to everyone so you can read what that is. It wasn't scary. It was just meant to tell us, this is what's coming. Make sure you're founded in Christ. So my message tonight is entitled, The Body of Christ. I told Lisa the other day, this is what I was going to speak on. Make sure we know where we're aligned. There are many people who have asked me over the years, if I read the Bible and pray, why do I have to be a part of a local congregation? Have you ever heard that question? It is true that to receive forgiveness for our sins and to be saved, a person does not have to join a local congregation, a local fellowship, a local expression, a local church, whatever you call it. However, there are many reasons why a person should become an active part of a local congregation. Tonight we're going to look at 10, and I'm going to throw in an extra one. We're going to look at 10 reasons that the Bible says a believer benefits from being a part of a local congregation. This is part of what Chuck was talking about. We need to know where we are, because that's where your life is going to flow through. Church is not going to look the same anymore. A lot of people are trying to make it look like something. It's going to start to look like what Jesus, Holy Spirit, and Father intended it to look like 2,000 years ago. Number one, it was Jesus' intention for us to be part of a body. It was his intention. Right after Peter made his famous declaration of faith, Jesus responded to Peter by saying this in Matthew 16, 18, upon this rock I will build my church. Upon this revelation I will oikos my ecclesia. Upon the revelation of who I am, I will use generations to build a legislative force, the ecclesia in the earth. We've taught in great detail in the past about that. So how can someone say they're committed to follow Jesus, but they don't have any local ties? It was Jesus' intention to build his church with you and me, putting us in someplace. Number two, spiritual warfare. Again in Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said, the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell, will not overpower it, will not overpower the collective assembly of believers, the ecclesia, the body of Christ. Within a godly community of faith, there should be spiritual authority to protect us from the attacks of the devil. Do you remember that Saul was supposed to wipe out the Amalekites? And he had a man-pleasing spirit, so he didn't do it. It was his responsibility to make sure that none of the Amalekites remained. Last month we mentioned that in the days of Esther, it was Haman, the great-grandson of Agag, the Amalekite king, one of those that was left behind, that was about to destroy all the Jews. See, if you're part of a local assembly, then there should be a spiritual network in that assembly with spiritual authority over that assembly. And I'm not just saying Lone Rangers. We are connected and aligned with Glory of Zion, with Global Spheres, with several other bodies in the region. There is a spiritual network for us to be able to stand into war and be protected from the attacks of the enemy. And if my heart is half-hearted about being a part of whatever house, Shepherd's Heart, the enemy knows it. If a person is not part of a godly community of faith, they are needlessly exposed to demonic attacks. This is a time of deliverance. Yesterday was the celebration of the first great deliverance in Scripture, the Passover, where the death angel passed over every house, including the Egyptians who so believed that Yahweh meant what he said and put the blood over their own doorposts. And the death angel passed over those houses too. A prophetic picture that we would also be able to enter in as Gentiles. Number three, response to the gospel. As part of his first message in Acts 2:38, Peter exhorted the people to repent, to be immersed in water, and to receive the Holy Spirit. Those who were saved immediately joined into the community of faith. Isn't that what we read in Acts chapter 2? 3,000 were joined to them that day, were added to them that day, depending on the translation you read. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 47, we read they were added to them. The people in the book of Acts' response to the gospel message was a deep commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his community on earth, the bride, the body of Christ, the local congregations. You see that in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, and again in Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. We're living in the book of Acts. The Lord has taken the body of Christ back to the book of Acts. We are in that third great awakening, but we are in the second apostolic reformation. The first was in the book of Acts 2,000 years ago. Holy Spirit is bringing us back not only to an understanding of time, but to an understanding of what Father wants to do so Jesus can come back. Do you know that we could have Jesus come back a lot quicker than he's going to if we just did what he told us to do? It is that simple, guys. It's really that simple. That if we did what Jesus said to do, he would come back sooner. If every believer went out and started to be a living epistle, a vessel of signs, wonders, and miracles, most of the people that we prayed for healing in Nigeria the last 2 weeks were heathens. What did they call them?
Pagans.
They called them pagans. Zing, 70% pagan, 25% Christian, 5% Muslim. And the Muslims get money from all around the world and they're buying all of the property on the streets. But 70% of the community is pagan and they're coming to church because someone was praying for healing, and most of the people that got healed, we didn't preach to them, we just healed them. And then you know what? When you do that, you can tell them why. It's kind of hard to deny an eyeball that wasn't there being there. It's kind of hard to deny an arm that didn't work. It's kind of hard to deny a little girl who couldn't walk and talk She was our greatest advertisement before we got there. When she'd see the posters with, I think we're the only white people she ever saw. When she saw the posters with Casey and I on it with our hosts, she would point to them and say, "That's them, that's them." Sounds like the woman at the well, doesn't it? You can have that same experience. Number four, united prayer. In Acts chapter 12, verse 3, we read that Peter was arrested and put into prison. But then we read further that he was supernaturally set free by angels in the middle of the night. You know why he was set free? There was a prayer meeting in the church. Oh, wait a minute. It's not Saturday night. It's not Sunday morning. What are they doing praying at 2 o'clock in the morning? Don't they know? They knew Jesus. In Acts 2:5, it says, Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was made fervently by the church to God. See, united prayer is always stronger than our individual prayer. Casey's and my prayer, because we're in covenant, is stronger than her prayer or my prayer. Rob and Barb's is stronger than either of their individual prayers. Olivia and Jeremy's is stronger than their individual prayers. Ours corporately, because we come together and agree that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Holy Spirit will do what Jesus said he would do, that Father is on the throne. When we come together in agreement, our prayers shift things. That is what is happening around the earth. That's what's happening in the United States of America. It wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a mistake in calendars that there was a prayer meeting in Washington, D.C. on 110 years to the day. Don't have time to go into that Hebraic significance. It's very significant. To Azusa Street in Los Angeles having the same celebration. Coast to coast, the Lord is moving on believers and congregations to enter into prayer. Marie, what time does the service start here? 4:30. Well, somebody else can pray. That's just a suggested time. What would happen if the Lord told us to start praying at 6 o'clock in the morning? I know some of you couldn't make it, but would those of you who could come? I've been following the prayer movement for over 2 decades. I've been doing the prayer movement, especially in the last 50 days, at different times. And God is so faithful to wake me up. Look at the clock. Oh, it's 2:45. Oh, that's right. I got to be up to pray at 3. And last night I didn't set the alarm, and I told Casey I was going to sleep in, and I did. Till 5:45. And I didn't get out of bed until 6:45. That is strange for me. If the Lord calls you to a time of prayer, know that he has not called just you alone, but he has called people around the world to that time of prayer. If he wakes you and puts a burden on your heart, pray until the burden is lifted. You may have to get out of bed so your spouse doesn't hit you in the head. Or you may be able to just pray right there. It was the prayer of agreement that caused Father's heart to move and his hand to stretch forth and the angels to go and to break all of the chains off of Peter. Chained to guards, locked doors opening up. Read the book of Acts. Peter thought it was a dream. He thought the Lord was showing him something. Peter at the house. Rhonda comes down. Oh, it can't be, but Peter's at the gate. No, it can't be. Peter's in prison, but Peter's at the gate knocking on the door. Believe when you pray that the Lord is going to answer. Isn't that what Scripture says? If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Jesus tells us in Matthew 18:19 that united prayer happens within the community of faith. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Number 5, moral accountability. As disciples of Jesus, we are to live our lives according to the principles of faithfulness and integrity. That was the message I gave to the king of Zing, that his integrity would determine where he was in 3 years. When we sin, our brothers and sisters in Christ are to help us out by counsel and confrontation. If you see me sinning, I give you permission to confront me. I've given it to Lisa, I gave it to Ron, and I've given it to Casey multiple times over 42 years. I've given it to Chuck Pierce, I've given it to a few other brothers in the body. If we see someone sinning and we do nothing, guess what? We've just condoned their sin, and we may have condemned them to what the Lord says the punishment for that sin is. In case you're wondering, I never was, I never have been, I never will be politically correct. She tried to say amen, but she snickered instead. According to Jesus, this is supposed to happen on Main Street. Not. It's supposed to happen in the local congregation, not the universal bride of Christ, half of whom are in heaven. In Matthew 18:15-19, Jesus said, if your brother sins or your sister sins, go and show him his fault in private. You know, most of the time we want to confront Casey right here in front of everybody. Wrong. That is not the scriptural way. If your brother sins, go to them in private. But if he does, so that you might win your brother. See, the ultimate purpose is not, nah, 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 nah. You've been bad. The ultimate purpose is for them to achieve their destiny in Christ, to be restored fully. I personally do not believe that there is any sin that keeps anyone from ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ, except blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Is that pretty clear? You know why I have that opinion? It's right here. If I could repent of all of the stuff I did, and the Lord could trust me with the riches of his word, he can trust anyone with the riches of his word if they will repent of their sin. That is why we need to hold each other accountable. Jesus went on to say, if he does not listen, take one or two more. Take a deacon, take an elder, take one of the fivefold ministers with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. It's not accusation. The intent is for my heart to be restored to right standing. If he refuses to listen to them, then tell it to the church. We've had to do that 3 times that I can remember in 23 years, where we've had to disfellowship someone, or we've had to let the body know that. Now, I was working with a group of leaders in another country, and they said, well, how does that work? Let me tell you that last year, just before Christmas, I got a phone call. I think I may have shared this with you, about someone that was part of Shepherd's Heart years ago, was on the worship team for a brief period of time, fell into a whole bunch of junk, and we released them. Before I was commissioned, but I wasn't the leader of the congregation. And this was a pastor of the church saying, so-and-so is now with us. They've been with us for so many years. They told us the discipline you put them under. Whoa. They told someone who knew nothing This is a denominational church, by the way. And he has asked one of the young ladies, he was 50, she was 48. It's all relative, guys. To be his wife. The elders and I want to know if you will approve this. And so I asked him a series of questions about the fruit of his life, and it was all beautiful. And I said, yes, I will bless their marriage when you do. Because it was done rightly, one-on-one with the pastor, then with the elders, and then with the congregation saying, we can have nothing to do with them until they repent. They actually left town, moved back to town. Decade and a half later, they're walking with the Lord, they're serving the Lord, they're working in this house, and now they're going to be married rightly. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. If there is no commitment to the community of believers of faith in Jesus Christ, then there's no framework of relationships to hold anybody morally accountable. You won't be morally accountable to the press, to the government, to the education system, or to anything else, because they are amoral or immoral. You know what amoral is? They have no morals. Only Christianity holds us to a standard, and that standard's name is Jesus. He is our way. Jesus joined himself to 12, to 3, and to 1. I've joined myself to 1, to a few, to many. In this body, so should we. We have people around the world that ask Casey and I to hold them accountable because they've watched us walk, they've watched us fall, they've watched us get it right by repenting. And so they've asked us to stand with them. Number 6, elders in every city. Throughout the travels and ministry of the Apostle Paul, we see a reoccurring pattern: prayer, evangelistic preaching, gathering the new believers into a congregation, and then appointing elders. In every city Paul went to, that usually took 3 to 4 weeks to 3 to 4 months, unless he was setting up an apostolic center. And then he would move on to another one, and he would appoint elders, and then move on to another one, and he would appoint elders. In Acts 14:23, we read, when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. In every place, in every city, the believers joined a community having spiritual authority, especially in these next 6 months. We need to be a part of a community that has spiritual authority, because there's going to be shaking coming. There's no other pattern in all of Scripture. This is the pattern that the New Testament church is built on. Number 7, the epistles of Paul. It's ironic that some people have come up to me and said that they choose not to join a congregation of believers, and they justify their decision by quoting the epistles of Paul the Apostle. You can find a scripture for anything you want. I won't go there. Yeah, I will. I don't see where they find this one, but they're not Christian. Do you know that there is a religion of spaghetti worshipers in this nation? They are a 501c3 religion, and they eat their sacrifice and their God. They worship the pasta and they eat it. You can Google it. You can Google it. And they probably aren't Italian. You can find a scripture to justify anything you want, but only Jesus is just. And his word says that we are to be part of a body. Paul's letters to the Romans, the Corinthians, the Galatians, the Ephesians, the Philippians, and the Colossians were all addressed to local churches, not individuals. And so people come to me quoting those books, taking them out of context, saying, well, I can just worship in front of my TV. So can I. But I still choose to come here. As a matter of fact, I was worshiping in front of my computer before I came here today because I was at a conference being streamed. Those letters were written to a community of believers who had faith in Jesus Christ, not to one believer to do whatever it was they thought was right. Number 8, gifts of the Spirit. Other people have told me that they're being led personally and independently by the Holy Spirit. Great, I believe Holy Spirit talks to all of us. But if he's telling you to do something that's not in Jesus, who is the living Word, who is the Word of God, then probably it's not the Holy Spirit speaking to you. The Holy Spirit does speak to us independently, individually, every day. And if he's not, see us, we'll pray so that you can hear, because I can't do anything without hearing him every day. The primary explanations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are found in 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14 were written to a local congregation to be used decently in order in a local congregation so that we are equipped to use them out in the world rightly. If I had not been trained, I never would have probably been given that appointment with the king. If I had not been disciplined by using my gift in many congregations that we've been a part of in the last 35 years, I probably would not have known how to present the prophetic word to a Muslim so that when I was done, he would say, thank you, I needed to hear that. Because I was trained and honed in a local body. And when we left Tennessee, I looked for a local body that was like the one in Tennessee. Casey said I was like a little kid when I called her up one night, because she was 3 months after me coming up here. She said, you were like a giddy little boy. I found a church, I found a church, I found a church. They worshiped and raised their hands. And they didn't get into strange theologies. In these chapters, we find that all of the gifts are always for strengthening a local congregation. Last week, before it was released, if you remember, Alan Fest got a word. He came up and reviewed it with me. Unusual. It changed the direction of the service to where I think Holy Spirit wanted the service to go. But before he spoke it, I said, this is a word of knowledge. And it was a word of knowledge that impacted many lives, including Alan's and mine. You can specifically look at 1 Corinthians 12, 4, 14, and 36. You can look at 1 Corinthians 14, verses 4 and 5, 12 and 26. In every case, 1 Corinthians 13 is our motivation for moving in any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and that is Jesus' love for his bride. If I am moving in any gift outside of the perfect love of God in Christ Jesus for his bride, then I am wrongly motivated. And Paul said, I'm like a clanging cymbal or a noisy gong. Number 9, the epistles of Jesus. Not only did Paul write letters to the local church, so did Jesus. Some of you are saying, yeah, I agree. And some of you are saying, what are you talking about? Revelation chapter 2 and 3. He wrote to seven churches. We find Jesus' epistles to seven different churches, all of them expressions of what the body of Christ looks like in the 21st century. It was obviously his expectation that all of his fellow followers would be a member of a local congregation. He didn't write a letter to Mason. He didn't write a letter to Jeff. He didn't write a letter to Joe. He wrote a letter to the church in Rochester. And those of you who know me, for the 35 years we've been in Rochester, I say there is only one church in Rochester. It's his. There are many expressions, but Jesus only has one bride in Rochester. Just like he only had one in Ephesus, and one in Smyrna, and one in all of the cities that he mentioned. Number 10. The universal ecclesia. A local congregation is a cell or a body part in the greater body of Christ. We may be the little fingernail of the body in Rochester. We might be a skin cell. Only Jesus knows what portion each local body is. In that way, we participate in the headship of Jesus Christ. That's what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 says. We participate in the display of the wisdom of God. That's what Ephesians 3:10 says. See, only a local congregation can join into these things, because if we don't have a head, how do we have a body? We receive glory, the glory of God, according to Paul in Ephesians 3:21. If I'm not part of a local expression of the body of Christ, I can't receive the glory of the Lord. Why? Because he said he will not give his glory to another, and he only pours his glory on his bride. And I am one portion of the bride. Does that mean I have to be in church every time the door is open? No. It means I have to be committed someplace to grow and to mature and to be held accountable. Paul further says that we get to participate in the revealed mystery of the bride, Ephesians 5:25. And we get to maintain the pillar of the truth in the world, Timothy 3:15. Do you know that if I'm not part of the local expression, I'm not part of the pillar of truth in this region? There are many good congregations. There's only one bride of Christ. A local congregation may meet in its own building, it may meet in someone's home, or they may meet secretly in the middle of the forest. We know some people who meet secretly in secluded places because of the persecution in their countries. But the basic principles for the body do not change. Here's number 11, presbytery. You only have presbytery in a local body. You cannot sit under the direction of the prayer of the elders if you're not in a local body. You cannot be selected for participation in presbytery if you're not part of a local body. Yes, you can get a call-out word. It's what we do most of the places we go. We just ask the Holy Spirit to show us who and what we're supposed to minister to. Except for the one church we were in. Oh, wait a minute. It was a church. And the bishop over the church said, I have some people I want you to pray for. And I said, just a minute. I said, may I follow the Holy Spirit? And he said, yes. And I said, how many of you are prophetic voices in this house? And three people raised their hand. And I said, how many of you are part of the prophetic expression of this house? And about 12 people raised their hand. And I said, if you are that prophetic voice, come up here. Because that's what the Holy Spirit told me to minister to, was the prophetic voice of that house. And about 30 people came up. And we ministered to all of them, right? But then he had selected, he, the leader of the house, had selected people, not as leaders. He selected a couple that was barren. I believe they're going to have kids. By the way, we've prayed for 4 barren couples. The first one had twins. My niece said, don't pray for me. She literally did say that on her wedding night. She said, would you pray for the food? And I said, well, do you want me to say what the Lord says? She said, what do you mean? I told her that story. She said, no, don't pray for me. Just pray for the food. There was business leaders. There was a medical doctor. They just brought these people up, and he said, I believe the Lord's going to use you to speak to them. We didn't know any of them. Casey and I ministered to them. And afterwards, people were saying, how did you know that about them? We know him. They were in a local body. The leader of the house heard that they needed to hear a word, and he'd heard me in 2 meetings and figured, okay, this guy's strange. But his word is right on. I didn't even wear my colored shirts over there. It was too hot. Presbytery is a gift from the Lord to speak into the local body and the individual members of the local body who have been committed to that house. And so we prayed for a month and a half, almost 2 months, and asked the Lord, and we each brought our lists, and there were names that were the same on every list. I think God was eavesdropping. Presbytery prepares individual believers to walk with greater authority in their destiny. It prepares individual congregations to walk with greater authority in their community. That's what we're going to celebrate in 3 weeks on the 14th of May. So, you can meet in a house, you can meet in the woods, you can meet in a rented hall, you can meet in the Taj Mahal. That's what I call the building north of here on Manitou Road. It's a beautiful building if you've never been in it. It is a phenomenal building. The question is your heart committed to the body of Christ so that the headship of Christ can cover you? The basic principles don't change. The concept is that Jesus is coming back for his bride. And he said, many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, did I not cast out devils and heal the sick in your name? Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. Because he's going to be looking in his bride for the members in particular. Stand to your feet. Father, I thank you that you have put a faithful group of believers in Shepherd's heart. Lord, I thank you that you are moving powerfully in the earth, and you even gave us prophetic warning today about the things that are going to happen so that we can help others know you, even in the midst of the storm. Lord, I ask that you would breathe upon my brothers and sisters with fresh revelation of who you are as the head of the bride, the head of the body. And that you would begin to show them specifically their specific membership in particular. That they would function with the gifting and the anointing that you created them. Lord, whether they are 1 year old or whether they're 100 years old, that gifting would mature now, so that much fruit will be born to you in the days of their life. Lord, I ask for the leadership of this house that you would show each of us, heads of ministries and deacons and elders in fivefold ministry, how to more represent you in the things you call us to do. That those who see us will be drawn closer to you and be released with a greater measure of your Spirit to fulfill your call and destiny in their lives. Jesus, I thank you that you came to establish your ecclesia in the earth, and that you are coming again to bring your faithful bride to Father's side. Lord, here is your bride. Breathe on them tonight with fresh measures of your Holy Spirit, even as you breathed on the disciples. Lord, I say, let them receive a double portion of your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's refreshments next door. Stay in fellowship. If you normally fast, this is not the week to fast. It is a feasting week, because it is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which means I don't fast this week. It's a time to celebrate the things of the Lord. I love you all. Have a blessed week.